2, Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. We are back in the studio. Dave, you were at Reading.
Yes.
I was in South
Fresno, and then Reading. Yep. You were in South America destroying Dove.
Oh, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
I re-ran the, because it's coming up, and man, what a great foundation, Team Whiskey. So I re-aired the Kevin Stang episode last weekend.
Great group.
Yeah. So you and I are going to be out there for that this year. Both of us are going to shoot that event.
Actually, that's the weekend I think I'm in Tennessee.
I will shoot that event this year.
Then you will be shooting that event. Yes. Yeah. That was one I was like looking at my calendar going, oh, dude.
Oh, no.
I fly in the day that it starts.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's like the 30th and 31st or something like that. Yeah,
correct.
I fly in the morning of the 30th back from Tennessee.
Well, I will be out there shooting it.
Yeah, who knows? I might feel pretty spunky and
just go right
fly
from the airport
in
up.
And say, hey, grab me on the way. And we'll head up and I will.
I'll come get you.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out.
So anyway, this is a new, fresh episode. We are back in the studio. First, before I forget, I got the rest of the hats done with a different new show logo and the patch on them. Those are over at Rightful Liberty Arms. If you spend $50 or more, you get a free Nevada Backcountry hat while supplies last. And then I also wanted to make sure I got in. I talked to Jim Irwin earlier this morning.
Oh, nice.
And Shooting Performance Institute. They've only got a few slots left for the May 17th, so next weekend, the Hunter's Challenge. And he said he's having like a little bit of an issue with the website. It shows 40 available. Those are mostly sold out. So there's only, I think he said 8 or 10 left. If you are interested, it's an awesome, I mean, it's basically a 3D archery course, but with a gun. If you're interested in that,
cool.
May 17th, shootingperformanceinstitute.com. It's super affordable. Go snag one of those last slots. And then, as always, thank you to Truck Envy and Battleborn Tree Service for sponsoring the show. Dave, let's see. Housekeeping. So there's a first bear attack of the year in Yellowstone.
Yep.
And that kind of jogged my memory about the whole grizzly reintroduction into California, which is still making headlines.
Yeah.
Which way is the wind blowing on that one? Have you heard anything?
On the grizzlies?
Yeah.
It's mixed.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, it's got some mixed, you know, you've got the folks that are all excited about them being introduced and letting them roam their natural, you know, indigenous lands and such. And, you know, and then you have the other group that's like, why?
What problem are we solving? Yeah.
They were gone for a reason. The system recalibrated itself.
Yeah.
Now you're bringing them back in and, you know, now you're putting oil in the water. Now what? So,
You haven't heard one way or the other.
I have not heard one way or the other yet. I think it's one of those things where it's like, well, guess we'll just grab a big old bag of popcorn, sit back
and wait and see.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to be heading out to Knott Creek Reservoir here soon to do a little fishing. I wanted to get it out there. If you folks have interest in some of these backcountry areas and fishing areas in the state, algae is starting to pop up already a little sooner than expected.
Already?
Yeah. So just be aware. If you were thinking like, hey, June, July, I'm going to go hit this stuff, I might start looking at May. If you've got the time, I would get out there now because as much as I love fly fishing, float tubing, some of these backcountry lakes, reservoirs, it can be kind of a pain in the ass when you're cleaning algae off nonstop.
Oh, nonstop. Yeah, because I heard Wall Canyon's another spot.
Yep.
Because we love going out there. Yeah. Like this next week, supposed to be in the 90s.
Yeah.
So.
We just had such a light winter.
Yeah.
It never got super cold. So anyway. Yeah. FYI, algae is starting to show up in some of these backcountry reservoirs and lakes. Fish them now. And then shed hunting season. It's full swing.
Going on right now. Yeah. Oh, I've been seeing some smokers online right now. Some of these sheds people are finding.
Did you see the some of the ones that Jake Ward found?
Yeah.
He posted on Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Those are sweet.
Jake.
Oh, yeah. There's another picture of a young kid out with his dad and his family, and he's holding up a deadhead.
Cool.
Yeah, somewhere in Area 7, it looked like, and it's a smoker.
Way cool.
So, people are out and about.
As a reminder, you just need to get the little, it's free.
Yeah.
But you just got to go on and do the shed hunting thing, and it only applies to certain counties.
Yep.
It's not all counties in the state. It's predominantly the elk counties.
Correct.
It's a free thing. Just go do your token. Hey, I'm a safe, ethical shed collector.
Exactly.
And then get out and do it. With the time remaining on segment one, I missed it this year. And
you did.
I'm torn.
You missed a good one.
I had a little bit of FOMO because I'm still on the group text. And so I'd be getting, now granted, completely different time zone, but I'd be getting these texts from you guys. And I was like, man, I miss being there. Talk to me about Reading.
Reading this year, the weather was phenomenal.
Because I wasn't there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the last few years, we've had some rain.
Hail.
Hail that one day. Yeah. Some wind. Which is, I mean, Reading, you just don't know. You don't know. It could be 90, 100 degrees and you're half dead.
Yeah.
You know, or this year, it was in the 70s.
I've never shot Reading in good weather.
All 3 days were awesome. Kyle Douglas did Kyle Douglas. He's a professional archer for Matthews, and he shot one down for the whole tournament.
Ooh, so he won?
Oh, okay. Yeah. He took care of business.
Is that, yeah. What's the course record?
He said it.
Oh, that's it.
That's it. Yeah, because next year the
it's
course is. Yeah, next year they're moving, I think they said something like 5 or 6 animals due to potential safety issues. So they're going to move them further up canyon. So it's going to be
a new course.
A whole brand new course next year. So that's it. Kyle Douglas owns the title for the
old
best
course,
score
yeah.
for the course we just shot this year. And the previous course prior to the fire,
right.
Jesse Broadwater owns that title. And he did. He shot one down. So he shot a 15.39, and then Kyle Douglas shot a 15.39 this year.
So, yeah, next year, new course. And I got a little bit of the inside scoop on that because I shoot a league with Dave Wanamaker.
Yes.
Who is part of that course staff over there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everything. So
yeah.
Dave Wanamaker kind of gave me the inside scoop on what targets they're moving.
Yeah.
There's going to be one. It's like a pretty steep uphill and long shot. 80 yards and like a 20-some-odd degree uphill.
Yes, because there's only – they wanted to spread out some of the – give us some longer shots – because there's, Bigfoot at 101 yards. Then you've got the moose at like 74. Then you've got the elk scene at 88.
Yep.
So they wanted to get another 88 in there. I think they wanted a longer 70. And I thought I had heard that they wanted a 90 in there.
Okay.
90 yarder. So they're moving some of the longer 60 and 70 yard shots. And I think there's one in there that's like a 60 some yard shot. And they're going to push those out a little further.
Yeah, good. Well,
so
I'm
gonna,
excited. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's going to make the course. I mean, the course is phenomenal in the first place.
Yeah.
That's why it draws people from all over the world. I mean, I was talking to a guy there from Portugal. Well, I was trying to talk to a
trying
guy
to talk to him. Yeah, yeah. Your Portuguese is a little rusty.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Buongiorno.
That's about it. That's about it. But no, it was a great course. The weather was fantastic and shot really well. I think everybody pretty much in the group shot really well this year.
Who in the group was the score to beat?
The score to, well, we had a new guy on our bail this year. His name was Grant.
Okay.
And then his name was Jess. And I think even Timmy called him another name. So they couldn't figure his name out.
Okay.
But anyway, I think it was Grant.
Okay. With a
super cool dude. He shot a 15.20. I want to say 15.27.
God
damn. Is what he shot. He shot lights out, but then.
Was he part of that Arkansas crew or what?
No. He was just
a rando.
He was from South Dakota.
Oh.
And he just got put on our target.
Gotcha.
And he fit right in.
Okay.
Yeah, he fit right in. So he was able to take the snarkiness and and all of the razzmatazz that we give everybody.
I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
Scott and Jill shot.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
They
I
shot
wasn't
the
sure
first
after
2 days.
Last year.
Yeah, I know. They shot the first 2 days and the third day they threw
kept
a
score.
Yeah, well, no, they shot a couple targets and then they bugged out. Jill was pretty sore and then Scott's got a shoulder issue, so he didn't want to destroy that any further, but they shot really good.
It made me happy to see them in the pictures because like I said, after last year I was like, I don't know if they're gonna do this again. And so then when I get pictures I was like, oh, Scott and Jill are there, cool.
Yeah.
Okay,
it was good. So we all shot great and we can't wait. EB's already sending pictures of houses for us to have for next year. I was stoked. I was kind of bummed leaving, you know, because my goal, as I told you, was obviously no screw-ups.
Right.
But I'm only going to shoot 11s and 10s. And more 11s than 10s. But this year, I shot more 10s than 11s. So I'll fix that for next year. And then my last arrow of the entire tournament, I was going to clean it up, hit my goal, and I had a flub up.
So. Yeah. We will take a break. When we come back, I want to hear about this flub up.
Oh,
I also want to hear about your setup for the tournament. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Welcome back to Nevada Backcountry, and thank you to Rightful Liberty Arms, Shooting Performance Institute, Truck Envy, Battleborn Tree Service for sponsoring the show. Man, we left off there, Dave. You had a flub up at Redding, but let's back up, because over the break we were talking about it. You shot Fresno, what, the weekend before Redding?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Yeah, Fresno's first. That was really good. Took third on that one. Took third in that.
Ah, attaboy.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Shot solid. Anyone out there, you know, I know we talk about archery a fair amount and tournaments. If you're an archer, if you want some really good practice on distances, angles, and just straight up like placement and stuff, you got to get out to your local or, you know, any type of 3D shoots. They really fine tune you. It's
I'll plug the Fallon Ram shoot coming up next weekend, I think.
Yeah, next weekend, the 16th, 17th.
I believe so.
And that's a great shoot. The guys out
there. Could be wrong on that, but Hunter puts on a hell of a shoot.
Yo, he puts on a great shoot. I'll be out there. You'll be out there. Yep. That's going to be a fun shoot. But yeah, what a great way to like totally tune yourself in.
Absolutely.
But the Fresno shoot is set up just like Redding, and it was great. They had a fantastic job. Heather Gore and her partner won the outlaw division. Got to watch the shoot-offs for that, and they shoot at, I think they were shooting at a flamingo at like 90 yards for the shoot-offs. It was awesome.
Is it scored the same as Redding?
Yeah, same scoring system. So
11-10. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, 11-10-8.
Yeah.
And zero.
And zero.
And zero.
So, Dave, you had good weather. Before we get to the flub up, let's talk about your set. What did you shoot over there? Because when you showed up today, you were talking about you got another bow now, and you're starting to resemble me.
Yeah, bought another bow.
What'd you shoot at Redding?
I shot the Athens Vista 35 with the Excel sight on it and with a four-power lens.
A four, okay.
I used a four and removed my clarifier.
Yep.
The pin and target were crystal clear. So that's what I'm shooting, and I'm using the Spider Bars.
Spider Bars? Hold on, that's
my
new.
Stabs. My stabilizers.
Not the Eastons?
No. I didn't put the contours on this bow.
Oh, okay.
I'll probably put the contours on the new bow I just bought.
Gotcha. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
What about for arrow setup? What'd you shoot this year?
I shot the X10 Pro Comps.
The ones from EB?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Those are nice
Yeah,
arrows.
Those are great arrows. Those are fantastic arrows. And they shot, they better for
what
things
they cost,
run. So that was my setup. And Athens, that thing just shoots so smooth. Just sucks the company's gone, but I still got their bows. And
well, as we talked, awesome. You got enough where you got spare parts and stuff, so you can keep them going for a while if you need to.
Yeah. Hey, Gina, if you're listening,
turn off
the radio.
Did I
real quick. I have seven of them now.
Heck yeah, Dave.
I got seven.
Heck yeah.
So, okay, turn it back on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I've got plenty of stuff. And like I said, they just shoot so well. I just got to stick with them for the time being.
Yeah.
And I just love them. So
what poundage are you shooting on that?
65.
65, which is perfect for outdoor stuff and indoor, honestly, with as smooth as that bow draws.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So smooth. But yeah. And so I was shooting 65 pounds and 28 3/4 draw, which is cool because it's got that micro adjust draw system. So you can just dial it right in.
Yeah.
But it worked great until.
How many arrows did you lose?
None.
Nobody broke any?
None.
Oh.
None. I think Timmy snapped one of my knocks.
Okay.
But the pin knocks, so I just pulled it off. But compared to the other year, I lost none.
I don't want to say this because I don't want to like speak it into existence, but apparently when I'm not there, things go pretty dang. The weather's good. Things go smoothly.
You know, we ate.
You didn't run out of arrows.
Right.
You did.
Justin cooked for us.
Oh, okay. Rocket.
That boy, I'm telling you, that boy can cook.
Is that from guiding? Because he does just kind of take over the kitchen. He's like, all right, I'm doing this. Is that from his days as an outfitter?
It could be.
He's just got that ham cooking for camp thing.
Right. I mean, we had buffalo one night, like a buffalo marinade spaghetti thing.
Okay.
Phenomenal. And then we had, I think he had like muskox fajitas, phenomenal.
Yeah, muskox is,
we ate like kings. I came back thinking, holy Lord, I need to like do a cleanse or something. Yeah. And the house is awesome. I mean, it's a typical bunch of guys just being a bunch of dorks.
And it was two houses on the same thing, wasn't it?
No. That house, they pulled out of the contract on that one because they sold the house. So we had to find another house. And it's a really nice place.
Okay.
Yeah, we had turkeys all around us sitting there gobbling every morning. It was pretty cool. But
did you guys do a moment of silence for Dean?
We did.
Okay, good.
We did. Good. We grabbed a bottle of whiskey. We all took a nice glass of whiskey and...
Poured one out for the homie.
We poured one out for our boy who
passed away last summer.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just massive heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the consensus. Yeah. Yeah.
So Dean was a Vietnam vet, served in the 82nd, the same unit I did.
Yeah.
So Dean and I bonded over a few late night drinks, and we'd sit out on the back porch and
bottle of Basil Hayden.
Dean was what a good dude. And I hated to miss this year, and I thought, well, I know they're gonna do something.
Yeah, we did. We did. There were some tears shed and stuff because he's a fantastic man.
Yeah.
Just a good soul. Great shooter and just a good person to be around. The kind of people you want to be around.
Yeah. Did they bring somebody else in his stead? he's laughing.
Oh, Lord. Yes.
Okay.
They brought a youngster, EB. You know, EB, he picks up people on the road.
He's a stray. And, strays.
Yeah. He, I still not really entirely sure the kid's full name.
Oh,
but
perfect.
We called him McMullet.
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 He was rocking a mullet?
Oh, buddy.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Like the full on
Kentucky waterfall.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. And he fit the bill, too. Like really skinny kid and with the mullet. And
could he shoot? Ish?
Well, we can talk about
all
that.
All right. Yeah. That's, I know. Yeah. Even listens to the show. We don't want to.
No, he just started shooting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. EB and Justin got him set up and stuff. And he tried his best. He did well for his first time in Reading. And he's already looking forward to coming back.
Did Fisher make it down?
No, God, no.
Well, he's a new dad. Yeah. That's why I was like,
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That kid's still trying to figure out how to clean a
diaper.
That baby's brand spanking new.
I figured as much. I would be laying there at night looking at the pictures on the group thing, and I'd zoom in like, oh, I recognize them. Oh, there's so-and-so, there's so-and-so. And I didn't see Fisher in any of them, so I assumed.
You didn't see McMullet? Can't miss that kid.
I might have seen McMullet. Can't miss that kid. Oh, as soon as we're done, I'll go back through pictures. You'll have to point out McMullet.
Oh, yeah. It was a good time. We've already got the Reading 2027.
I saw that.
Going.
Yep.
We're ready for 27.
God, it better be good weather, man.
It better.
Yeah. And unless, which we will get into coming up here, unless I get a random phone call from a friend that says, hey.
Don't answer your phone.
You want to skip the country and go shoot birds? I plan on being there next year.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great shoots coming up. I mean, we got the Fallon.
The Ram
shoot.
Battle Mountain's coming up.
Battle Mountain, their shoot's coming up. The Heavenly, the Whiskey shoot.
Team Whiskey.
Team Whiskey shoot coming up. So, you know, and then, man, before we know it, we'll be hunting.
Dave.
Tags are coming out here in what, a week and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, reminder to people, get your applications in. There's still some cutoff and it's not midnight.
The 13th.
May 13th at 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not midnight.
11 p.m. So you got 3 days to do it, folks. Yep. Yeah. 3 days to finish it up.
Get them in there.
So yeah, don't worry about putting it for moose. That's already.
That's yours?
Yeah. I think I saw it somewhere.
Hey, I know a guy. I got a moose tag.
Well, you do, yeah.
It's not in Nevada.
You're going to
Canada.
Canada.
Yeah,
Where in Canada?
So right on the Northwest Territories border. It's moved, which...
And you're going during the rut.
During the rut this time, yeah. Post-rut kind of sucked, man. That was a lot of work.
Because you did that last year.
Last year was post-rut, so this year we're doing an actual rut hunt where we can call them. Because last year was just... There's no interest in ladies there. It's like finding a needle in a haystack.
Right.
And that haystack happens to be musk eggs and thick timber. So it was.
Yeah.
And by the time you glass one up like 2 miles away, by the time you get there, the thing's long gone. They're just cruising.
They're just not interested in the ladies. They're still trying to figure out gender neutral.
Yeah, they're licking their wounds going, what the, they're coming out of that testosterone induced haze of like, oh my God, what just happened, man?
Oh, like college lady.
They're like hungover.
Yeah.
Doing the walk of shame. Like, yeah. Did I really try to kill my best friend?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. What was that all about?
Weird.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, hey, we will get into my out of the country trip coming up next on Nevada Backcountry. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM. Welcome back to Nevada Backcountry. Thank you to Rightful Liberty Arms, Shooting Performance Institute, Truck Envy, Battleborn Tree Service for sponsoring the show. Let's talk my life for the last. I am so burnt out and exhausted, Dave.
Yeah, you've been traveling a crazy. I've been traveling, but it's been in a car.
I'm flying.
You're like bouncing from plane to plane to plane to go do stuff. And then you're not even done for the year.
Nope. I got another trip to Florida. Well, the hell am I going?
Well, you're one to Canada.
I'm leaving out of Florida to go. And then I think we go to Dominican Republic or I don't know, one of those places. So I'm going there and then I'm going back up to, like we were talking about last segment, I get a moose trip out of the country too. So
yeah,
to date in the last, I think about 60 days, I've done 22,030 air miles. The circumference of the earth,
24
something. So I'm almost there. I have almost circumnavigated the globe in the last 60 days.
Jeez, oh, Murphy. Well, and it's all for good stuff, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
it's
yeah,
all
yeah.
It's all good stuff. You know, there ain't no doubt about it. But I'm really curious on this Argentina trip.
Like, yes.
Like guns, the type of guns you got to use when you're there. And the,
oh, well, let's get know, into
let's
it,
just get
Dave.
Into it.
Yeah.
How did you end up with this particular trip? Because
you
sent us all that wonderful little note on our Reading group saying, hey, I'm not coming this year.
Yes. So a good friend of mine, and I've talked about him on the show before, houndsman, phenomenal outdoorsman, John, I don't know if I'll say his last name, John Lesperance, buddy of mine, my brother's neighbor, ironically enough now. He hit me up. It was a trip he had purchased at a banquet, and the fourth member of the group, I think the wife put the kibosh on it. She said, absolutely not. You're not doing it.
Yeah.
Long story short, John, who's just a hell of a guy, and anybody that's hunted with him, he did some guiding. I know he did that coos deer hunt with Tim Burnett.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Whatever episode that was back in the solo hunter days. He was on that. Great hand in the field. Good dude. He calls me up and he says, hey, what are you doing these dates? And I said, well, I don't think I'm doing anything because I'm a scatterbrained human being. And I didn't even think about Reading.
You're male.
I'm male.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, I don't know. I don't think I got anything on the, why? What's going on? He says, hey, do you want to go to Argentina? And I'm standing there in my bedroom on my phone. I go, Argentina? Yeah. And he goes, hey, look, I bought this hunt at a banquet. Our fourth dropped out. If you want it, the slot is yours. You're just responsible for your airfare and your shells. We got everything else. And so I'm standing there. I'm like, well, oh, man, that sounds amazing. I'd love to do that, da-da-da. And my wife was in the background mouthing to me, do it. Do it. So I'm like,
love that. Right. Love that lady. Love that lady.
I was like, hey, John, yeah, count me in, man. So there I made a snap decision. Then I started looking at the calendar, and I went, that's Reading.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't be in two places at once. And it was one of those, I talked for years about doing an Argentina dove hunt.
Yeah.
If you're
I think every bird hunter talks about an Argentina dove hunt.
Yeah. It's insane. So I went, man, bucket list type stuff. Yeah. I'm going to pull the trigger and I'm going to do it. So that's how the whole thing came about. Now, what I wanted to bring up was I had all these preconceived notions about what it was, what it wasn't, so on and so forth. It absolutely lives up to the hype.
Does it really?
Oh, it's insane. Absolutely insane. Yeah. It lives up to the hype.
It is one of those hunts that when people come back, they make it sound like absolute nirvana with a bowl of cotton candy. It's just nuts.
You don't load your own gun. Every meal is like a 5-course meal. Some of the best food I've ever eaten. Every meal comes with like wine. I mean, insane, Dave.
Accommodations were phenomenal.
Massages at night.
Oh, shut up.
No. Massages at night. Your job as a gringo in Argentina is to pull a trigger. That's it. That gun goes to your shoulder. You shoot your birds. The second it comes off your shoulder, your bird boy is throwing shells back in the gun and hitting it with oil. Because you're shooting thousands upon thousands of shells.
Well, yeah, because you texted us.
Oh, the day one numbers?
The day one numbers that shot 1,000.
1,210 birds.
All I could see when I read that to the guys at Reading, I was like, his shoulder has got to be absolutely black and blue.
No, you know what's crazy? So, we'll get into it. We're kind of jumping all over the place. But so the group I was with, John, his dad, Hans, and then Hans's old college buddy,
Franz?
John.
Oh,
no. So two Johns and Hans, and just what a great group. But I think Hans might have been hurting a little bit. I think older John was hurting a little bit. And then John, my buddy, Lesperance, was his shoulder was purple after the first day. And this isn't like I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. My shoulder was for sure sore, but I don't really bruise.
1,210 shots.
No, that was birds.
That was birds.
That was
God knows how many shots you did.
Well, do the math. We'll do this on air right now, folks. I shot 62 boxes of shells to get my 1,200 birds. So 62 times 25 is 1,550 shells I shot the first day.
So are these like 410s? Are
no,
these
no,
like
no, no.
12,
I shot,
20s?
I was going to bring my 410.
Okay.
20s.
20 gauge.
And for listeners, I love asking questions. And I figured what better place to ask what the gun is to buy than a place that those guns get, I don't think I'd be exaggerating if I said millions of shells through them. I might be a little strong on that. We'll call it hundreds of thousands for sure.
Oh, I'd assume, yeah.
So, I mean, these things are road hard. They were all Benelli Montefeltros. And I asked every bird boy. I asked the guide. I asked
bird boy.
I know. It seems so. It's such a like colonial implications.
Yeah.
My little Argentinian man, bird boy. They don't use dogs. They use human beings.
Yeah. That's just, which
weird.
Is interesting.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
But I asked everybody down there universally, Benelli is the shotgun. It's the only shotgun that holds up to it.
Well, I'm glad I bought a Benelli.
Yeah. There
Holy
was no.
Lord.
So the head guide, Leo, he said he personally likes the Beretta over-under 686 Silver Pigeon, but it's an over-under, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So for us going down there where, and I'll get into the conservation aspect of the hunt because I'm sure people listening are going, holy carnage, what a greedy.
Yeah, but they migrate through in the hundreds of thousands.
Oh, no, that
millions.
One valley, 65 million birds.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's mental. Just crazy. Anyway, so for those of you listening, if you're thinking about getting a new shotgun this year and you're somebody that's hard on your stuff, man, Benelli Montefeltros were the gun of choice down there. That's what
really?
I shot. And I mean, to the point, Dave, I shot so much over the 3 days of shooting. And we had a day on either side to knock around in Buenos Aires. And let me tell you, what an incredible city. Amazing. It's like being in Europe. All the architecture and everything, everybody, it's that Spanish influence.
Yeah.
Everybody is tall and beautiful. Every now and then you get one of those, like somebody pops out of an alley and it's that ancient DNA, like an Aztec looking dude from a textbook in school.
Oh,
and it's like, oh, I am in South America.
Yeah.
Whoa. But for the most part, it's that you look like, you know, probably walking around like Barcelona or something.
Wow.
Like everybody's tall and attractive. And I've ground on this enough, and we've got to go to a break in a second. But holy smokes, the stark contrast from a city of 22 million people that's very European, they walk everywhere, they eat real food, going from that where it's a very thin, attractive culture to landing back in Atlanta.
Oh, God.
I'll leave it at that because I've already ground on overweight thing.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So it was culture shock for a minute of going from that where you're going to see some of the most beautiful human beings you've ever seen in your life to landing in Atlanta, getting off through the international terminal and going, oh buddy, I'm back in America and I'm in the Southeast.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow. Well, that Buenos Aires is totally other topic, but Buenos Aires is one of the cities on a documentary I watched called
About
Living
Nazis?
About Living Beyond 100.
Oh, and it's one that, what do they call them, a blue bubble or whatever?
Yeah. The blue bubble, blue bubble city or blue bubble region. Yeah, then they were talking about folks that are 101, 105, 106, and they're still like riding bikes around.
Oh, yeah.
The whole nine yards.
everybody walks, rides bikes, everything. So, I mean, we would do miles throughout the city.
Yeah.
They drink wine from pretty much sunup to sundown.
Oh,
they
eat now red we're meat. Talking. Lots of it.
Lots of red meat.
Yeah, so no, that was one of the blue zones in the documentary, Living Beyond 100.
So when the FDA, an organization I don't trust anyway, says don't drink any alcohol and don't eat too much red meat.
Yeah.
And I just That's got back and I'm going, everybody in this city drinks wine from sunup to sundown and eats red meat for two meals a day.
Well, and that's why you see us at hunting camp with a bottle of whiskey in one hand and a porterhouse in the other.
I'm going for 100. Yeah. So, hey, I mean, just we got way off the rails. I will talk about the hunting aspect to it. I would encourage people, if you got a little money to burn and you ever thought, hey, I would like to do something like this, Norte Hunters is the outfit we went with. Cannot say enough good about Tomas, Leo, the whole crew down there, the accommodations. It was like being royalty.
Wow, that's
just
awesome.
Insane. So when we come back, I will talk about the unique conservation model and why we were able to shoot more birds. I'll put it this way. We killed more birds than the avian flu in the world. And I'll talk about why that's a good thing in a minute. Final segment of Nevada Backcountry on this Mother's Day Sunday.
Yeah, finally hit it.
Before we went to air, I said, oh, Dave, okay, as soon as we crack open the mics, I got to make sure it's Mother's Day. I need to make sure I plug Mother's Day because I'm horrible about that. Three segments of the show, not a peep out of my mouth about Mother's Day.
Yeah.
God bless you mothers out there.
Yep, thank you all for everything.
Growing human beings.
I couldn't do it.
No.
There is no way.
I wouldn't want to.
I'd be scared to death.
Hey, thank you moms out there. Hopefully some of you moms are out with your families now, getting your kids into the outdoors. And a point my wife has made over the years, which has proved true time and time again, if a dad has a hobby, that is the dad's hobby. If a mom has a hobby, that is the family's hobby. So if a mom shoots archery stuff or whatever, all the kids, everybody's going to shoot. If a mom does whatever, so... Women have a unique, I won't call it a responsibility, a unique amount of influence over a family's course when it comes to activities and hobbies.
Oh, for sure.
So there's my plug for all the moms out there. Give them some love today. I finally got it in. Now, we bounced all over the place that last segment. Here's what I want to talk about, because it does seem exorbitant to go down there and shoot thousands upon thousands of birds every single day. It is a conservation model, or what you are essentially is you are a conservation tool. That region of Cordoba is essentially the breadbasket of Argentina. That's where a majority, I mean, it's agriculture. Once you get north of Buenos Aires, basically, it's ag for the country, right?
Okay.
When you're talking about 55, 65 million birds descending this area, it's like starlings in the Midwest. You cannot shoot enough of them, and they are a pest. So before someone got hip to the fact that gringos like shooting doves, it was essentially the farmer's response. Like they would just
poison them and whatever,
try to get rid of them. There's too many of them cleaning out crops and everything.
Yeah.
At some point, I don't know, 60, 70 years ago, whatever. Some point, somebody was like, you know, gringos really like shooting dove. Why don't we start building some lodges? And we'll sell these like exotic international wing shooting packages to a bunch of Americans. Well, it worked. And now, so they love it. You come down there and they want you. I mean, they are encouraging you. They're giving you, there's a really good, it was like 361. It's a real light beer, but they stick this stake in the ground with a cup holder on it. So if your right hand ever comes off the gun, it's going to a cold beer.
Huh. And that's drinking and shooting.
And they have
a good combo.
Dave, they have no drinking and driving laws. So you, at the end of the day, you know, the guy, and I never saw Leo. I don't want to give that impression. Like they
are. Right, yeah.
And I don't want to give the impression that everybody's getting blackout drunk and just shooting. You know, it's responsible.
I mean, it's
adults.
Responsible, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, over the course of a day, like you would have two or three of these beers, and they're like 3% alcohol, super light beer.
Well, just refreshing.
Yeah, and freezing cold, they'd pull it out. But I mean, just incredible. But at the end of every day, you know, the guide is the one driving you to and from the lodge and the shooting fields. Yeah, he cracks open a cooler and you end the day with a cerveza in the car riding home. No drinking and drive, no open container laws.
So now, after you're done, or while you're shooting,
yes.
You know, you've got, you know, four or five of you out there just laying, just having a good time.
Steady drip of death.
Yes. So you've you've got one bird boy loading your gun, and you have another or group of bird boys that are
grabbing
running out in the field and grabbing birds and putting them in bags.
So they are cautious about that. And I would assume at some point, and I noticed in the coolers, they don't bring enough alcohol to really get you blasted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So they've probably had a few incidents over the years, but they wait until you're done shooting, and then they're grabbing stuff. So, like, you break for lunch.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then here's the other thing, too, because my buddy John and I were watching all this go down, and we were looking at it and going, and they're not getting... What I shoot, I sent you that picture. 480 birds that I shot before lunch or something. They're not getting 500 birds out of that. What comes out but pigs?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I sent you guys that
you
video.
You said that video of that pig eating the dove.
So here's the thing, right? The pig farmers out there love it because they have like free range pigs. And so anything,
because that one you showed was a beast of a pig.
Oh, they get chunky, and the piglets. What the heck was it? Chanchitos. The piglets would come out, and the piglets would start munching on birds.
Yeah, because I was thinking, I mean, with that many people, they can't.
They're
pick
not
up
picking up
all
the birds.
Nope. Like, and then what are they?
And they don't try to.
No, because I mean, you'd if be the, there for the next 7 hours cleaning birds.
Yeah. So the choice birds were pigeons. Those are like the ribeye. They want you to shoot
like the rock dove.
It looks like a straight up,
well,
like a mountain pigeon.
Like a, yeah, that's like a, that's a rock dove.
Rock dove. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks, biologist. Yeah. So it's a rock dove. That was, man. If pigeons show up, they're hooting and hollering, pigeon, pigeon, senor, senor. They want you to shoot the pigeons because they love eating them. Those are the best.
Well, yeah.
Eating.
I mean, how many white winged mourning doves does it take to feed somebody? Jeez, Murphy.
Well, they say they taste better too. So they grab those. And then if you got big, not real shot up mourning dove, they'll grab those. Yeah. The other unique species, which was super cool, was Inca dove.
Inca dove.
And they are about half the size of a mourning dove.
Smaller than a mourning dove?
And faster.
So they're like the green winged teal of the
dove world.
Of the dove world.
Yeah. And I'm going to say this because I think I posted it.
So it's like shooting a sparrow.
Oh, yeah. And
wow.
Similar. They'll drop.
Oh.
Go back. They can turn on a dime and go out the other direction.
Like a UFO.
So here's the thing, though, I will say, and I'm not a great shotgun shot. By the third day, shooting a mourning dove is like a chip shot. You're like, oh, yeah, that thing's big and moving slow.
Compared
versus the Inca dove.
The Inca doves.
It was just insane. So yeah, if you ever want to, you want like a live, you know, better than shooting sporting clays, a tune up for your shotgunning skills, go down to Argentina and shoot. Because by the end of it, you're going to be looking at birds that we think of here during dove season. You're like, these things are so damn hard to hit. I can't hit these. Oh man, 3 days of shooting those Inca dove and a mourning dove, you know, a flight of mourning dove come over and you go, oh, these things, it's like shooting sage hens. It just looks like a basketball with wings by day three.
Gotcha. So now the cycle, so it sounds like the conservation actually works really well there because you're decreasing the population so that they're not destroying the ag fields.
Bingo.
The elimination of them is also secondarily feeding some of the livestock in the area.
100%.
As well as some of the wildlife.
And they eat a lot of pork.
They eat a lot of pork there, but also some of the wildlife that probably take advantage of it.
100%.
Some of it's fertilizing the soil. So there's a really nice cycle happening there.
Yeah, it's
that's
not
super beneficial.
Yeah, it's not in that vein of just I mean, again, until you experience it, it's hard to sit here and tell people like, no, it's cool to shoot thousands of birds every single day.
Yeah.
People think that's exorbitant. And I get that coming from, you know, coming from the cheap seats, as they say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about it. I mean, when you're talking 65 million birds.
Oh, yeah.
And you're whacking, say, 5,000.
Yeah.
In your time frame. That's like having $1,000 and then taking a penny out.
Bingo. Yeah.
It's like nothing.
And they do it day in, day out. They have hunters coming in. I mean, it's the show down there for sure, but you still can't. You don't even put a dent in the population.
No.
And it's free. Like I said, the pig farmers absolutely love it. And it's weird because they do free range pig down there. So it's like you're on a pig ranch, but they're not like what we're used to here where they're in pens and stuff.
Yeah, they're all fenced in.
Nah, they're just roaming through the woods, and you're basically eliminating that farmer's or rancher's feed bill.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is, so you're talking about four guys, each of us shooting, say a light day is 800 birds, you know. So we dump that many birds. They may grab a few of the choice ones for meals and stuff. We eat a lot of dove. Leave the rest. You come back in the morning, you think it's going to be gross blood, feathers everywhere. Those pigs come through those fields, and there's for sure feathers. They clean up everything.
Well, that video you showed us when you tossed the dove to that pig.
I would whistle. She was my friend by the end there.
Oh, I'm sure. But yeah, she lapped that thing up like... Yep.
It was crazy.
I don't even think she chewed.
There's
she
a few crunches and then... Yeah. Down. And they eat. We are coming up to the end of the show. Holy smokes, man. I could wax poetic about my trip to Argentina. But the real weird one was another pest, because they make these giant nests on power lines. Parakeets.
Really?
So we're shooting pet store birds.
Oh my God. So you're in Argentina having a great time in this amazing atmosphere, warm for people, and I'm in Reading trying to navigate on the road around meth sparrow.
Yep.
So some dude in the middle of the street swashbuckling cars like he's pretending to...
He's a pirate. Yeah, he was a pirate,
so he was meth sparrow.
Oh, no, Dave, I was eating 5-course meals. I mean, every meal was incredible. You get pork, beef, and dove is basically every meal, some variation thereof. And then they do a big salad.
Oh, yeah.
These giant salads. And
they have amazing
comes out,
vegetables.
Oh, yeah. Insane. Absolutely insane. A massage to top it all off. And then it's called Jave. It's a really good gin. So
really?
If you're so inclined, after you've probably had 4 or 5 glasses of wine over the course of the day,
to have a
you
gin.
Can
a
have
nightcap
a nightcap gin.
Gin. Well, I know Pat would be all, he'd go to art just for the massage.
Massage, yeah.
Yeah. Everywhere we go, he's like, I wonder, he'll always Google in massage parlors.
Yeah. Insane, dude.
So he'd be fine.
That is going to do it for this Mother's Day episode of Nevada Backcountry. Thank you to all the moms out there. Thank you to the show sponsors. And thank you to those of you who listen to the show. Coming up next is Tom Gresham's Gun Talk.